Now, back to the Jack and Tom Show on 1320 WILA.
Welcome back. Jack Ebling here with Tom Crawford, the Jack and Tom Show, 1320 WILS. See a little bit of sun. It might be overcast and might be very cold.
Not a bad football day. You know, tomorrow might rain, but today is good, and you get 40s in November.
You'll take it.
In a heartbeat.
All right. We have a couple pair of tickets to give away for Purdue, Michigan State, courtesy of the MSU Alumni Association, your network for life, and we want to ask those questions right now. There are two of them. Supply either answer. Call 393-3700, 393-3700 with either one of the correct answers, and you'll have a pair of tickets for today's game. And we will meet you in front of the press entrance, the suites entrance on the west side of the stadium at about 11:45. Our two questions are, in 1983, George Perlis' first season, Michigan State had arguably its most dramatic non-overtime finish of a game in school history. And Ralph Mojenko of Bridgman, Michigan, came in and kicked a long field goal. How long was that field goal on the last play of the game to give Michigan State a 29-29 tie with the Boilermakers? One of the longest kicks in Big Ten history. How long was that field goal? Second question. We want to fast forward to 1999. Michigan State, after the win over Michigan, was 6-0, a little bit fat and sassy, and went down to West Lafayette and ran into Drew Brees. And a receiver who set an NCAA record that day and caught 21 passes against the Spartans, and Purdue left with a 52-28 win. Michigan State also lost its next game to Wisconsin and then rallied. Went through that season, Tom, beating Notre Dame, Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State, and Florida.
They ended up top five, top eight?
Finished in the top ten, was seventh and eighth in the polls.
Yeah.
So that was one of the two best seasons in Michigan State history in terms of win totals, and has a chance to tie that mark today. So how long was the field goal that Ralph Mojenko kicked in 1983 to tie it on the last play of the game? And who was the receiver that Drew Brees threw to and threw to and threw to over and over and over? He wore number 20 for the Boilermakers. You probably still see him running around out there at Ross Ade Stadium. 393-3700, the number to call if you'd like to have a comment on the show or if you have an answer to either of our trivia questions. Tom, we talked about what this day means to seniors and Michigan and Michigan State players. Their last home game, and even though both schools will have a bowl game, there's something about your last home game. You just went through this with Cody.
At the high school level. Yeah, I can't imagine. With college, you're talking about a lot of these kids, 5 years of running out that tunnel. Even as a redshirt, a lot of them are dressing. It's got to be an emotional thing. And, you know, to have your parents there with you, I'm sure it's going to be a tough day. And you can't guarantee a win over senior day. I mean, Michigan's playing Wisconsin. This could be, another senior day. They go out with a loss. And it's always how you end that last memory walking down, back out the tunnel. It's going to sit with you.
Every school does senior day a little bit differently. And I was watching Washington versus UCLA.
Oh, on Thursday night.
Thursday night. And Jake Locker came out. And Washington hasn't had much of a season. It's been disappointing.
They've been down for a while.
And a lot of coaches have tried to turn it around. Maybe this guy will do it eventually. But he had a great quarterback, at least at the college level. And did not get it done this year. But the crowd stood in mass and gave him a long standing ovation. And they had students, had his name spelled out on their chests all around the stadium. And he came out and he said that win meant more to him than any game he's ever played because it was his last time. And they were just glad he came back for his senior year.
Right.
I think it would have been a high NFL draft pick.
Absolutely.
And as Bruce Hooley said, sometimes you come back, maybe you shouldn't come back. Probably devalued his stock a little bit.
Sam Bradford with that situation.
Yeah. And Sam Bradford, of course, had the injury, but a lot of times they find more problems. And the NFL is a potential league. They look at what they can develop. They always think they can fix something. But eventually they see that there are things that, we're going to have to work a little harder to fix it. You get Tim Tebow'd, and next thing you know, you're not being picked as high as you thought you would originally. So. We've got that for some Michigan State and Michigan players today, their final home games. And everyone talks about Greg Jones, and rightly so. But look at a guy like Eric Gordon, who is
Traverse City,
going to set a record for the most starts for a Michigan State player. And he came in on a different coaching staff. Now you're talking about a guy who really had to take a leap of faith. So you've got guys who have made that transition, and Michigan's got that too, Tom. They've got guys who came in thinking they're going to play for Lloyd Carr. That's why I always say when you make your decision based on the coach, you can love your coach, but when you make your recruiting decision based on your coach,
oh, you're throwing dice.
Be gone the next day.
Yeah,
and if he's a good coach, he's going
to
get off.
And you have to make the decision on the school, too, as you've talked about. What if football ends the very next day? What if you get injured? You know, you're at that school. What if you get disgruntled? You're at that school.
Right.
A lot of big decisions. Yeah, I'm sure it's Eric Gordon has been consistent. That's the thing I think about with him. Maybe not the flashiest linebacker, but he's always in the he's always getting tackles. You hear his name a lot when you're watching him on television.
You know, I was reminded the other day that Eric Gordon was a guy who had the flag when they went to Notre Dame on the plant, right? And I've forgotten all about that. Yeah. You go back and take a look at that.
I thought that was more than 5 years. Was that when he played as a true freshman then?
No, it was 2006, a redshirt freshman. So,
right, okay, yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting that you forget when guys have been here that long that he's been through the lows and now maybe the highs,
course,
and it's better
Dwayne,
do it that way.
Dwayne Goldburns of the world, they were for 27 years, right?
Yeah, he tried to get to his uniform number, ladies and gentlemen. Give us a call, 393-3700, 393-3700. If you need tickets for today's game, here's what you have to do. You have to tell us how long the field goal was that Ralph Mojanko kicked, one of the longest field goals in Big Ten history, to tie that game against Purdue. You can pick a number and guess on that one. The other one is, who was Drew Brees' receiver? The Boilermakers had an unbelievable run in the late 1990s and the 2000 season. Michigan State actually beat them the year they went to Rose Bowl, beat them 30-10.
Right.
But didn't beat them before that and lost three in a row to those guys.
Right, 99. You know, this is I wanted to get your opinion on this because I'm having a hard time with the fact that basketball is starting so early now.
Yeah.
And they're already playing a couple of games, and there's still two more football games to be played. Why don't we go back to college basketball starting maybe Thanksgiving weekend the very first time, maybe that Saturday after Thanksgiving like it used to be? Mm-hmm. Maybe throw the Maui and the, you know, I don't know if they don't probably do that Great Alaska Shootout anymore.
Well, why do you think we don't?
TV. Money.
Money.
Obviously,
it's got to be money.
Know?
I mean,
yeah,
the season's longer, more games.
But you dilute it a little bit. And, you know, now all of a sudden we're, you know, Michigan State basketball already has a couple games. I'm watching Michigan and Bowling Green the other night, and there's hardly anybody there. I mean, it's just it's too early to think basketball as far as regular season games.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, the whole thing about the NCAA and basketball, I love the NCAA tournament as much as anyone could. I love the Final Four, been to 12 of them. But something devalued about the regular season. And for people
absolutely.
Who want that kind of a playoff with 16 teams or even 8 teams, you're going to have a whole different setup. And I'll take the week-to-week, every Saturday counts nature of
No, I've
football.
Gone back to, you know, I've gone away from the playoff thing. Well, you know, because, well, Michigan's not in the hunt for the playoffs anyway. So I mean, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I like the way college football is right now. Believe it or not, you
Let's
know.
Go to our phones. We have caller Don from Hazlitt. Hello, Don. Hello, Don.
Don ain't there.
Well, see, I told a story and waited too long.
There,
are you
like
there,
to
Don?
Call?
All right, Don's going to call us back. I hope. All right. You know, we have been watching some of the Big Ten footage here, and this Ohio State Iowa game. Everyone says, "Well, you're just such a Hawkeye suck up." But the Hawkeyes aren't completely out of this thing yet, because if they beat Ohio State and give the Buckeyes a second loss, and Penn State takes care of Michigan State, which could happen.
Well, you remember when Iowa lost early in the year, and the next week they buried Michigan State.
Yeah,
you know they'll bounce back. Although I mean I was really surprised that they lost Northwestern. You know, you are an Iowa suck up, Jack. You really are.
They always lose to Northwestern. Like they've lost 3 years in a row to Northwestern.
It's like you're his PR agent or something. You're always thinking he's
great. I love
great.
His program. I think he does a great job there.
But he's not flawless. I mean, there were some coaching mistakes. Remember that game early in the season when they lost before the Michigan State game? Was it the Wisconsin game?
The Wisconsin game.
Wasn't that bad coaching as far as
no,
time
I think
management?
That was.
See, there you are.
That was the quarterback. Him. Well, hey, you can defend the guy. That doesn't make you a suck up. I think that was Ricky Stanzi. I talked to Ricky Stanzi about that the next week. After the Michigan State game, I'm standing in there, and they've done all the Michigan State interviews, and everyone's filing out. And suddenly, who walks in but Ricky Stanzi? He's got to do a phoner for Sporting News Radio. So, of course, you know how those things go. They say, okay, we're going to put you on the line, and then 5 minutes later, they get to you. And so we're talking about that, and he said, hey, I'm a senior. I got to play like one.
And so he took responsibility.
Yeah, he did. You know, coaches didn't want him to do what he did, but he did. So that's the way it goes. That's not what you work on every day. But sometimes coaches can only do so much. And that's what I wonder. That's why I can't assess where the responsibility lies with the Michigan situation. I don't know if it was Lloyd Carr recruited players who weren't as good as we thought. I don't know whether it's Rich Rodriguez driving players out of the program. I don't know whether it's the lack of continuity and what's going on the defensive staff. I can't identify what the problem is. I know there's a problem that Bo Schembechler would be absolutely writhing in pain watching this.
Well, I mean, I think what you got to look at is what's happened at Texas this year. It can happen to anyone. This team was in the national championship last year, and now they're just looking pathetic. So you can have all of a sudden everything, you fall off the cliff and have a bad year. But what's happened with Michigan now is you had that bad year and then you had another bad year. And now this year it's all right, you know, but the defense is still young and you got all these freshmen. How do we have freshmen and sophomore? How does that happen? You know, it's called attrition and mm-hmm. some guys have left the program.
After three
and
years.
And injury, obviously, to Troy Wolfolk.
That was big. That was people overlooked that. But after 3 years. You shouldn't still be having so many freshmen sophomores.
And you shouldn't be making mistakes. As a program, as they do, and just, you know, cavernous mistakes. Where, I mean, where there's like 15 yards between where you know who's got this guy kind of mistakes,
right.
And giving up 65 points in a football game. Granted, three overtimes, but giving up 49 points or whatever in regulation. It's just giving up 450 to 500 yards on average. Every game.
Michigan That's did what it had part. To do last week to win and was the better team. I mean, watching that game, was no doubt in my mind Michigan was better
than Purdue. That was a pathetic game. I only saw the latter part getting back from Saginaw Valley, but it was just bad football.
I don't watch very many games in their entirety. I flip around, catch a little bit of this, catch a little bit of that. I watched that game play by play. And
you're a sick man.
And it was painful.
Yeah, a lot of mistakes, and they don't preserve the football. You know, you got to preserve it. You got to value the football, and they didn't. You know, they made some plays. Cam Gordon had a big heads up play. They're making plays, and they played bad, and they won. Which Rich Rodriguez said, "Hey, we played bad, and we won. That's a good thing. That's show signs of progression."
But I saw the Big Ten Player of the Year in that game,
Ryan Kerrigan.
It wasn't Denard Robinson.
Yeah, guy's an
animal. Great as he's been, Ryan Kerrigan is just a junkyard dog out there, and he has been for 4 years. Michigan State's actually had very good success with him. Don't ask me how, but they're going to have their hands full with this guy today.
Yeah, but he's one guy.
Yeah.
I think Michigan State's going to romp today. I don't think they're going to have any problem. And I think that Penn State game is a virtual toss-up next week. I mean, you're going to be there.
Too.
I mean, you're going to go. I mean, our listeners probably don't know what kind of bizarre schedule you have coming up that begins tomorrow morning. But
I leave at 3:30 in the morning, get on the Michigan Flyer, and I head to Detroit, and then I get on a plane to Phoenix. I fly from there to Maui, and I'll be there for the basketball tournament, the Maui Invitational. And be doing things for SpartanTailgate.com. We'll be doing video reports and writing there. And then some things for Sport Magazine. We'll have guest hosts in here all week. Scott Eckersley, my producer, will have guests Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday of this week. So Gene Carolan and Dr. John Braccio and Dan Redford and Eric Jorgensen and Cameron Ganas and Justin Kane and maybe the Duckett brothers. So you're going to have a group in here over the next week, and then I go right from there to State College. We will be back in just a moment. 393-3700, 393-3700. If you want some tickets to Purdue, Michigan State, you have to tell us how long that field goal was that Ralph Mojanko kicked to tie the game the last play in 1983. And who was the receiver that Drew Brees kept throwing to in 1999 who caught 21 passes in one game against the Spartans? We'll be right back on the Jack and Tom Show.